40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Biden took a partial victory for a strengthening economy in last night's State of the Union address, his first before a divided Congress.
Thanks to what you've all done, we're exporting American products and creating American jobs. But we have more to do. But here at home, inflation is coming down.
Our respondent, Nancy Cordes from Washington.
President Biden's second State of the Union address started with a show of bipartisanship as he congratulated the new House Speaker, Republican Kevin McCarthy.
Speaker, I don't want to ruin your reputation, but I look forward to working with you.
But the night quickly took a turn. McCarthy had to shush members of his own party at least four times as they booed and interrupted the president when he talked about China, about fentanyl, and when he noted that some Republicans have proposed cutting Medicare and Social Security.
British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak greeted Ukraine's president on the tarmac when he arrived for a surprise visit to London. The two men met at 10 Downing Street. Then Volodymyr Zelensky addressed the British Parliament in a bid for more military support.
We will always come out on top of evil. This lies at the core of our, but also your, traditions.
Zelensky is also meeting with King Charles. It's a race against time to find additional survivors trapped in massive mounds of rubble in the frigid cold after Monday's 7.8 earthquake that devastated parts of Turkey and Syria. Today, the death toll topped 11,000. In Pyongyang, marked the 75th anniversary of the country's army. Small government-organized groups performed. Others held signs praising the Korean People's Army. The King gets a new title after last night's Lakers game. CBS's Steve Futterman was there.
What a moment for LeBron James. He is now the NBA's all-time leading scorer. And the crowd here chanting MVP. He entered the league 20 years ago, and tonight he attains one of the greatest records in basketball.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who held the title for almost 40 years, was there to congratulate his successor.
LeBron has conducted himself with class. He had a plan. He came right out of high school and went after excellence on the court.
CVS is taking a giant plunge into primary medical care. It's reached a $10.6 billion all-cash deal to buy clinic owner Oak Street Health. It adds hundreds of senior clinics, as well as about 600 physicians and nurse practitioners for COVID vaccinations, strep tests, and other services at CVS pharmacies. S&P futures down 20. Dow futures off 119. This is CBS News.
You know, it's true.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. President Biden in Wisconsin today following up last night's State of the Union speech. He's visiting a union apprenticeship training center in DeForest, just north of Madison, to highlight his jobs and economic plan. It's the second year in a row the president has visited Wisconsin after the State of the Union. Last year, Biden went to Superior. Governor Evers is blaming the murder of a Milwaukee police officer on guns. Officer Peter Jerving was the first Milwaukee cop killed in the line of duty since 2019. Evers says Jerving's death was a tragic loss due to gun violence. Republicans say it's a case of Milwaukee's failed approach to crime. In sports, Marquette lost to UConn last night, 87-72. Tonight, the Badgers try to get back in the win column at Penn State. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks? Jimmy K is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too. Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
I got to be me. You'll never be in doubt. That's what it's all about. You can't take me for granted and smile. Count my days, I'm gone. Forget reaching me by phone. Because I promise I'll be gone for a while.
All right. Welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967. 2789. It's 844-967-2789. And shout out to Milwaukee County this morning. The county executive in the studio and also corporate counsel of Milwaukee County. We're in good hands. It's Wednesday at 10 o'clock, and none other than my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, executive director of Citizen Action, is on the docket. How you doing, Dr. Craig?
Earl, good to be back after a break last week. So hope you're doing well.
Oh, yeah. So where were you at, Tahiti?
No, we're part of a national network of a federation of groups like us and other states and cities called People's Action. I'm on the board, and we had a board retreat out in San Francisco. So got to go to the West Coast. It's warmer. It was like high 50s. They thought it was very cold. I didn't think so, given the Wisconsin winter. And we got some affiliates out in California. So there was a San Francisco Rising was our host affiliate, and they're like amazing how diverse San Francisco is. They're a table of seven different ethnic constituency groups that do election programs. So like the Filipino community, Korean, Chinese, Latinx, and so on. So it's African-American. So it's, San Francisco is an extremely diverse and interesting place.
Yeah, let me ask you, Dr. Craig. The state Supreme Court race, I was reading something that said for the primary alone, over $3 to $4 million going to be spent in the primary. Let's talk about why this is so critically important.
Yeah, I mean, we have the campaign finance system that was deliberately deregulated as a conspiracy by business interests and the Republican Party. I mean, they appointed justices that would do the Citizens United decision, the infamous decision. It moved politics to a new, different kind of corruption. It used to be there were party machines. You didn't know what interests were, you know, getting their tongs in and financing things, right? Though Milwaukee historically had very good, clean government, had what they call the sewer socialists. Well, now we have this arms race where endless billionaire and corporate money can be recycled and put into independent expenditures, and it gets worse each and every cycle. So we just came out of a U.S. Senate race where $200 million was spent. And so that's between both the two campaigns and independent groups. And Republicans have more money because they have most of the billionaires. We have a few famous ones on the left, but they're few and far between, actually. When you look at billionaires, most rich people support their own economic interests. And so I think it's very problematic because, you know, who those who pay for campaigns have the most influence on who can be the candidates. But nonetheless, we have two candidates in this race that would actually give average people their day in court, actually would be real judges that might well give us fair Democratic maps, and, you know, actually consider the question of women's reproductive rights, not ideologically, not just imposing a right-wing agenda. In fact, I was, this was in prep for the board retreat I was just at out in the West Coast. There's an academic article by some Harvard political scientists about a scenario, Earl, as to what it looks like if we become a more authoritarian state and lose democracy. And they propose it will actually not be, the elections won't go away. They'll just become elections that where only one side can win. And they have the political science term for that is an electoral autocracy, where it seems to have the legitimacy of democratic elections, but doesn't really. And they state as an example of an election autocracy, Wisconsin's state legislature, which has maps that guarantee a super Republican majority no matter how voters vote. And so this state Supreme Court will have, and who wins this race will have a big impact on whether the state legislature continues to be basically not a Democrat legislature at all, a kind of autocracy or not.
You know, Dr. Craig, it almost seems unbelievable that that can happen in this country. And I almost don't believe that there are enough people who understand the dynamic of what it is you are talking about and what this will eventually mean.
And Jim Crow was an electoral autocracy, right? There were elections. It's just that they were incredibly unfair elections where a big proportion based on race of the electorate was not allowed to vote. But remember, the Supreme Court, when it threw out the redistricting case that went to the U.S. Supreme Court and seemed like it had a good chance of succeeding, said the Supreme Court is going to take no position on partisan gerrymandering. So the gerrymandering of the state is partisan. Now, it just happens that the vast majority of black people are members of the party that is disenfranchised. That's the only party that actually in any way attempts to represent their interests right now. But apparently partisan gerrymandering that becomes racial gerrymandering, that's fine. I mean, to them, it's not fine. But if you think about it, you think about the African-American community in Wisconsin, 6.5% of the Wisconsin population. The number of seats they have isn't very relevant in the legislature if those seats can't pass any bills, and they can't beat committee chairs and their bills don't even get hearings, let alone votes, let alone get passed. Then you're not really a full legislature. You have the title, but then you're not really a full legislator. You don't get to make any laws or participate in that for real.
You know, Dr. Craig, what happens on a state level? You and Citizen Action continue to plug away, continue to fight these battles. Do you sometimes feel like the battles that you're fighting, do you just small wins? I guess any win whatsoever is positive, right? I mean, it's not just going to be some all of a sudden epiphany that people undergo and realize that what's been happening is not in the best interest of the American people as a whole.
Well, not only do you have to have hope in order to inspire people to take action, as bad as things are, you have to be aware that the balance of power is by a razor's edge in many ways. This state Supreme Court is in play. In other words, there'll be a 4-3 majority one way or the other after this election. And so we could have real judges that would actually consider how undemocratic the legislative maps are, for example, how ridiculous it is that we're enforcing an 1849 abortion law, which is inconsistent with a whole lot of statutes and completely unworkable, right? This court hasn't even taken the case. It's just crawling through the lower courts. They immediately took the case to change election law to keep Scott Walker out of jail for his activities, his illegal activities at the time in the recall election. So now we have to win it in these big money races. But you have to kind of play the game as it is to change the game. In other words, the Packers have to play by the rules of the NFL, right?
Some of
them are unfortunate. In college sports now, they created this name and likeness payment that student athletes can get, so they're not paid directly by the university, but they're a source of potential corruption. We just had the University of Miami get an $800,000 NIL deal to poach Kansas State's best basketball player. I mean, that's straight out, but I think Kansas State and I think Wisconsin will still try to win under the new rules. So we got to play the game they've laid out, even though they've rigged the playing field. And that doesn't just mean raising a lot of money for the one of the two nominees that's an actual judge. It's going to be either Judge Janet Presiowicz or Judge Everett Mitchell.
Right.
As far as the candidates that actually would be real judges that would represent average people and actually interpret the law fairly, because right-wing judges don't do that. They claim they're strict constructionists. They actually find a creative way to impose right-wing doctrine and policy from the bench. And the only question is how they're going to justify it, not what they're going to do. They're not real judges. They're politicians and rogues. So I'm saying we can win this race, but I'm going to say volunteering matters a great deal, because that is the thing that can answer the disinformation that's going to be spewing over the airwaves. Already started. I understand they're of course, an ad about some dangerous criminal that Judge Janet let out, on lower parole. You know what? Real judges are there. That's going to happen. You don't have a crystal ball to know what every individual you're judging the case of is going to do in the future.
You know, Dr. Craig, I've been around long enough to remember when the last time Democrats were in control of the state Supreme Court, and all of these things have come down. Back during those times, I remember people talking about the clean government of Wisconsin, right? They touted how clean Wisconsin's government was. But once the conservatives got total control of the state Supreme Court, all of these things came down the pike. So, you know, people can say that, you know, it's a nonpartisan and that they're nonpartisans, but if you just look at the decisions that have been rendered by the state Supreme Court since the Republicans have had control over it. Now, what has it been, over a decade?
And after the break, we can get into the history, but this is the deliberate corporate conspiracy to take over the court so they would never lose cases, and that's what they achieved with big money.
All right, got to go to break, 844-967-2789. It's always good to have Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, to help educate us on what's really going on and what's really at stake. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with The Bears Still Suck as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with a high of 43. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. A mixture of precipitation likely tonight. Lows level off around 31. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies tomorrow. A mixture of precipitation likely. Highs level off around 35. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's a Wednesday at 10 o'clock, so Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket. And you know, Dr. Craig, before we went to break, we were talking about the fact that corporations, with their endless streams of money, have basically taken control over many entities, especially the Supreme Court.
What corporate America did not like, and this is really the beginning in the 70s, of the conspiracy, the right-wing business conspiracy that led to the modern Republican Party and MAGA and the takeover of the courts, the end of Roe versus Wade, you know, Citizens United decision on campaign finance, which is legal bribery. They didn't like that the courts that came up in the 60s, 70s, that they were finding corporations liable for harm they did to people, right? Abuse in nursing homes, pollution that's killing people, dangerous consumer products, right? And people were winning big judgments in court. And, you know, part of it, they built more political power. They took over the Republican Party, created the Reagan era. But in the 90s, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, one of their major entities, decided that state Supreme Courts were a problem. They need to take them over, and they need to go and swamp traditionally sleepy elections where judges would just go around, explain themselves to the public, spend very little money in campaigns. That was the tradition of Wisconsin judicial races, where a state with a lot of different elected positions, it was a progressive era reform to give the public a voice. And they successfully both partisanized and made into big money races those state Supreme Court races in Wisconsin and took the court over with right-wing ideologues that always rule for corporate power and against the little guy. And that's the history of how we got that. And in Wisconsin, Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce, WMC, most powerful business lobby in Wisconsin, the state version of the Chamber of Commerce at the state level, they were behind it. They became a political PAC, and they funneled money into these candidates, and they recruited them. And you see it with well-funded entities like Wisconsin Institute for Law of Liberty, which files all sorts of right-wing lawsuits, and that's full of Koch brother money and Bradley Foundation money, all of the other right-wing billionaires. And so that's what we're trying to overturn here in this race, is basically corporate control, ideological control of the courts. And so there's a lot at stake here, and that, and you know, having independent courts is part of democracy. They're supposed to be an independent arbiter. They're not supposed to be another level of politician changing the law entirely on ideological grounds, right? They're supposed to be, now they are supposed to interpret the law and evolve it to new and emerging conditions. I mean, Earl, if you think about it, the right to free speech in the Constitution was written down and put into the U.S. Constitution at a time when you didn't have any electronic communications, any social media. It was newspaper, the sound of one's voice without amplification. And of course, it had to be adapted to modern communication technology. And it was not written down or intended by the framers of the Constitution. So judges always have to evolve things. A lot of our road rules have to do with rules that involve people riding around on horse-drawn carriages before there were cars, right? But you evolve them and you adapt them, those laws, until they're updated by legislatures. And so, or if they're constitutions, you always have to evolve them. But that is judging, and it's based on jurisprudence and precedent and agreed upon ways that you read and interpret and apply laws. In this case, it's just an ideological outcome. They are politicians in robes, and it makes Wisconsin not a full democracy. Not only do we have not have a democratically elected state legislature, we have judges that will change the law to suit their ideological preferences because they're ideologues first. Their judges very secondarily.
You know, Dr. Craig, as I look at how critically important this election is and others, what people need to understand, especially those who are progressives or Democrats, this may be the last opportunity for a long time to get to be a opening on the state Supreme Court, because if you look, Annette Ziegler, pretty young woman, Ann Wash Bradley, pretty young woman, Patience Rosensack, pretty young woman, Rebecca Bradley, pretty young woman, you know, Brian Hagedorn, young woman. I mean, this is a critical juncture. Is it safe to say that?
Oh, absolutely, because we're going to have electoral autocracy in the state legislature if this Supreme Court stays in place. We already know how they're going to rule. It is hilarious that they're filing charges against Janet Perseo.
She's talking about how she's going to, you know, vote.
And they're filing charges as a violation of the judicial code of conduct. We have a judicial code of conduct in this state. You know, our organization, and when I was leading it, we filed such a complaint against Michael Gableman, one of the justices the business lobby put on the court with big money, the one who then has completely embarrassed himself during that embarrassing election and investigation last couple of years after the 2020 election. He was elected by outright lying about the first African-American Supreme Court justice's, Lewis Butler's, record. And you can't just outright lie in the judicial code of conduct. We filed a complaint. We won. The Supreme Court was supposed to discipline and maybe remove him. He had to accuse himself. They tied 3-3, so nothing happened, even though he was convicted of violating it. Her telling voters who she is, how do we have elections if a judge doesn't explain to you how they see the world?
So, Dr. Craig, hold the thought, 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action and You. We'll be right back.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. A 7.8 magnitude earthquake in Turkey and Syria has killed more than 2,600 people, and there could be more bodies trapped under buildings. This man says the shaking started in the middle of the night.
Just instinctively, we just ran for our lives out of the building. And then we saw other families just coming out, running for their lives as well from the building.
Authorities in East Palestine, Ohio are warning people a train derailment with dangerous chemicals on board could still blow up. Charles Emix with the Red Cross.
Chaotic. A lot of people don't want to leave their house. They don't understand what the dangers are. Some of them have pets at their home. And, it's hard to convince them to get out.
Retired General H.R. McMaster says that Chinese spy balloon clearly violated international law.
Part of a sustained campaign of espionage against the United States. So I'm hoping this is kind of a wake-up call for all of us.
Crews are still working to recover its pieces. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. In the race for the 8th Senate District being vacated by Senator Alberta Darling, three Republicans are facing off in the February 21st primary. A national Republican group working to support re-elections of GOP members who voted to impeach former President Trump is out with ads criticizing State Representative Janelle Branchon. Branchon used her position on the Assembly Elections Committee to promote baseless conspiracy theories about the Wisconsin election system. She is facing State Representative Dan Nodal and Thiensville Village President Van Motley in the February 21st primary. The winner will go on to face Jody Habesh-Sinikin of Whitefish Bay. President Biden stopping in Wisconsin today at a training center north of Madison, highlighting his jobs plan. The president delivered the State of the Union address last night. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Excuse me. You know, Dr. Craig, can you take some time out this morning and talk about the importance of grassroots organizing? Because when you're talking about big money and what you're up against and what's in place, the only thing you can do is organize, and why that's so powerful.
It's extremely powerful. It's the only thing that's ever changed the world. And it's fundamental, Earl, to democracy. Democracy wasn't just about people voting every couple years. That's important, but that's just the first step. Democracy is about people voluntarily organizing themselves in groups of like-minded people to influence, to change society, to advance major causes, to achieve major values in the world. It's how we ended slavery, or how we ended Jim Crow, or how we started to have actual environmental laws in this country. These cities we live in are all were far less pleasant places before the environmental movement. In fact, they were toxic places. There was garbage in the streets, and the rivers were just sewers, right? Open sewers. This is all starts with like-minded people getting together and organizing their community, or joining other groups of people to organize at a city or a state level. And one of the things about it is it's how people develop a consensus and have power beyond themselves, but can have a real role. The interpersonal part of it, the community part of it, also the interpersonal relationship part, is more profound and powerful than electronic media. Electronic media is incredible, and social media by the scale of how many people can reach all at once when they're buying these sleazy TV ads that have started in the Supreme Court race.
Right.
They're able to talk to huge numbers of people because they're able to buy it, right? But it's still people busy seeing a 30-second spot as they're trying to, you know, take care of the kids, go wash the dishes, what have you. It's why the ad has to be, someone has to see an ad 10, 12 times for them to notice an ad now, because people are distracted, right? Looking at their phone, what have you. So when you advertise that scale and you set it up so someone sees ads over and over again about this judge let this violent criminal go and they did this awful thing, that's what we're going to be exposed to between now and April 4th, the general election. That can influence them because that they've seen it enough times, and it raises this sense of fear. They're designed to manipulate people and make them fear that, not knowing much, that this candidate is for a bad, dangerous thing, right, that scares me, right? The one thing that can cut through that is direct conversations. What we found in our deep canvas, is a deeper conversation where the canvasser, either on the phone or going door to door, actually listens to the other person. In the U.S. Senate race, 12% of people who were undecided or who were supporting Ron Johnson after the conversation switched to supporting Mandela Barnes and stayed with that switch. And the reason is, once you can debunk the lies, people start to realize that what they're really interested in is, can I get affordable health care? Can I get child care? Can I get a good job, right? And progressive candidates are better on those issues. The only reason they're going to vote for Ron Johnson is because they're convinced that this cockamamie story that Mandela Barnes was going to unleash dangerous chemicals on your community who were going to, you know, commit mayhem, right? Which was an absurd proposition. Ron Johnson had no anti-crime plan or public safety plan. They were just fear-mongering, and fear-mongering based on race. We're going to be in the Supreme Court race. So if you want to do something, join with a group like Citizen Action in Wisconsin, where statewide we are doing this deep canvassing, and one by one we are debunking all of this propaganda and division and lies so that people can actually vote in their own interest. And it's in people's interest to have Democratic elections for state legislature, because legislators aren't accountable if they're guaranteed a re-election. Then they can just do whatever the lobbyists tell them to do, because the public can't hold them accountable.
So, Dr. Craig, hold the thought. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Hey, good morning, Jack. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, good morning. It just amazes me how legislators and even the state Supreme Court and even the federal Supreme Court entirely ignore things, little things like the law, the Constitution. For example, the Constitution says that the Senate is supposed to advise and consent on Supreme Court and a bunch of other nominees as well. Yet McConnell was able to get a right-wing extremist into the Supreme Court by ignoring, not following his constitutional duty to bring up the nomination of Merrick Garland. We had something similar happen in the legislature here. As a matter of fact, it continues. That is, our legislators ignore the fact that they are required by, I believe, our state constitution to either approve or reject. But the point is that they have to take these nominations up. The dozens and dozens of appointees that still are awaiting confirmation with Governor Evers. The state Supreme Court entirely ignored the Constitution that says the governor has the right to veto legislation when he vetoed the maps, and the state Supreme Court ignored that, and they said, oh, yeah, we're going to give the Republicans the maps. How can we have any kind of a so-called democracy if this continues?
Actually, a great question, Jack. Hang on.
Totally right, Jack. And the conspiracy was to put people in position of power who would do that, who would exercise their power to the max and shred all of the norms that had been built up for two centuries around a democracy. Advice and consent to governor's appointees was never supposed to mean, oh, we'll just not confirm any of them, and then our people from the previous governor can stay in position. They just did that, and you had a Supreme Court that wouldn't hold them accountable, right? So that's part of the conspiracy. So where is the check and balance? This is supposed to be based on checks and balances. Unfortunately, when we still have elections, they can't gerrymander the state Supreme Court race. We have to win them in order to take democracy back. And so we have to win this kind of race, but we also need people to get off the bench and to take action. Do you know, Earl and Jack, that there's a new study out recently that volunteerism has plummeted? That's a measure of the decline of democracy. People volunteering not just to be in political campaigns, not just to work with social justice groups and grassroots groups that work in elections, but they volunteer also to provide a lot of the social services government doesn't. That volunteering is a central core norm of our democracy, and that's in dramatic decline as well.
Dr. Craig, do you think it's because people have just given up, or they don't know the importance of that component of democracy?
Yeah, I think it's partly the hopelessness, because we were talking about how to maintain hope earlier.
Right.
I think it's that the norm is atrophying. It doesn't seem like it matters. And people used to do it because their parents did it, their friends did it. It was just what you did, right? And some people were active in politics. Some were active in other kinds of service, right, at the 4-H Club or the Kiwanis Club or what have you, right? And so the Masonic Temple. So, but it's dangerous for democracy. We then become a passive group of spectators. That's one of my biggest concerns, and one of the things we're trying to change, as doing our part to change at Citizens National Wisconsin, is to get people to realize they're not spectators. They're the main actors in democracy, and therefore they need to do things. They need to volunteer in our issue campaigns, and people need to join us or other groups that they might admire or like, and then they need to take action, because that's the only thing that creates a vibrant democracy and creates accountability and creates the social movements that achieve the change that we really need in the world. So, I mean, we've got to prevent a climate catastrophe, Earl. We're on the brink of one runaway climate change if we don't cut emissions of greenhouse gases in half by 2030. And we're not even remotely on track to do that. President Biden struck a big blow in that direction, but a lot more work needs to be done. We need more people directly engaged in that, or we will suffer it, not just our children.
Jack,
Earl, you and I will still be alive in 2030. Jack will be alive in 2030, I certainly hope.
Jack, you want to respond?
just a statement. One of the people say, people on the right say that the Republican Party is not on the road to fascism. But in fact, one of the first characteristics of fascism is the entirely ignoring the results of the democratic process called elections. And the Republican Party is well on the way to that, if they aren't already doing it, which I think they are.
Hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call, as always, my friend. Really appreciate it. You know, Dr. Craig, how do we really get that message out? Because do you attribute the fact that there are less people volunteering now to the fact that baby boomers are, you know, aging out of things, and there aren't people and who understand the importance of that as much as the baby boomers did, and we're in a transition period in this country where Generation Xers and Millennials are now taking over things as, you know, happens when, you know, the things continue to move on. Nobody can stay around forever. And is it that transition part of it, Dr. Craig, and we haven't reached that group of people to understand it?
Is that generation that was brought up more that way is, you know, gradually, incrementally passing from the scene. This has been happening a long time, and include baby boomers. It's coming more and more to fruition. People are isolated. People often increasingly don't know anyone on their block or in their neighborhood.
Right.
Robert Putnam, the great sociologist, wrote a famous book called Bowling Alone. It was about how bowling was a great social activity and how people who started bowling alone, but it was really, that was a metaphor for people being cut off. And so reinventing democracy is partly reinventing community and getting people engaged with each other. It's easier to hate other people and believe this propaganda and lies, fascist propaganda and lies on the airwaves, as Jack rightly points out, if you don't actually know other people. You don't know, you don't believe it if you're in more direct relationship. If you know recent immigrants and how hard they work, if you know African-American people and how they're the most American American constituency, right? I mean, in terms of all black folks have ever wanted is full participation in America and the American dream and all the rights that's and opportunities that's supposed to come with. They're the most American group I can imagine. They're not in opposition to. They've been trying to be a part of the whole time.
You know, Dr. Craig, the fact that either the Republican Party is brilliant or the Democrats haven't figured it out, because the Republican Party in all of these endeavors have been able to convince their segment of the people that what they say and do is in the best interest of all of them, when we know it's not the case. And even those who believe in the policies of the Republicans, they're not benefiting from any of those things that they're doing. So hold the thought. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket. You can reach us. We'll be right back.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to ALZ.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon with a high of 43. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mixed precipitation likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 31. Cloudy skies expected. A mixture of precipitation likely again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 35. Overcast skies. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 10. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board. You know, Dr. Craig, I was asking before the break, whatever it is that the Republican Party has been able to do to get so many average people to believe that their policies that they have are somehow in the best interest of the average person, it amazes me. And I don't know if Democrats can't get that done and to get enough people and even many who have swung over from Democrat to Republican to see that they can't really point out where these policies that the Republicans have added or are, you know, in favor of have benefited them whatsoever. You can't point to one thing that one policy that the Republicans have created over the last 20 years that have benefited the average person.
No, that's right. And even the issues they claim to care about are lies. They claim to care about the national debt. President Biden pointed out last night in the State of the Union that 25% of the national debt that's been built up over the whole history of the country was built up in the Trump administration, one administration that he's actually under Biden, it's reduced. But yet they want to hold the whole world economy hostage in a real play to take down Social Security and Medicare. That you'll see they wouldn't own that when Biden called them out in the State of the State and started booing him that he even suggests they supported that. They've been proposing it. Ron Johnson's proposed it.
Yes.
The head of the Senate Congressional Campaign Committee, Rick Scott, it was in his plan to sunset it in 5 years, Medicare and Social Security. Ron Johnson thought it should be every year that they have to be reapproved. So that 5 years wasn't good enough for Ron Johnson. So kudos to Joe Biden for doing that. in a way, Earl, this is the basis of conservative parties. And we do need a conservative party to have a functioning democracy. In other words, one of the key turning points in the development of democracy was when conservative parties came to think that they could actually win when there was universal enfranchisement, everyone could vote. And the first to really come to that conclusion was the Conservative Party in England, the Tories, in the late 19th century. And what they discovered was if they played the cultural issues and divisions, if they mobilized the British working class against the Irish or against Catholics, what have you, that they could win elections even though their economic policy was for the benefit of big corporations and the elite. So the Tories proved case. Now, unfortunately, Earl, we need that kind of party because if conservatives are all outside of democracy, then they try to bring it down. The United States now is the first country where a major party has come to the conclusion they can't win with a full democracy, and therefore they need to strangle that democracy. That's why we're really facing the first major threat to a mature, developed democracy in a major developed country.
So Dr. Craig, let's go quickly and squeeze one last caller in, Dave from West Bend. Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, sir. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling.
Great. Just two comments. One on the State of the Union address last night. I thought that President Biden played the Medicare Social Security issue to perfection. What I don't understand is it seems like from watching some of the conservative shows this morning, they didn't get what he did or what happened. They're acting like he fell on his face when he was talking about Social Security and Medicare. So I just wanted to mention that. My other comment is you have a lot of conservative listeners. Do they ever call you and tell you why they vote against their own interests?
No, Dave. I wish we had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to anything Dave said?
Yeah, Dave is right. It's hard to know whether the conservative commentators in question are just propagandists or whether it's what one scholar called trained incapacity. They can't even see when their own side is losing. They're so ideologically jaded. But I think Biden did a masterful job. I agree with Dave. That's critical, and that's what Governor Evers needs to do more, Earl. He's not taking clear enough stands to call out the other side. President Biden called the question of Social Security and Medicare, and they backed down. I think House Speaker McCarthy actually stood up and clapped when he talked about how we're going to defend Social Security and Medicare, and we know he doesn't think so.
He was confused.
Well, he is confused generally, right, Earl?
Yeah. So, Dr. Craig, unfortunately, we got to leave it there. It's always great, my friend. We'll see you in another week.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate it, as always. That's Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, County Executive David Crowley, for coming in. Thank you, Maggie Dawn, Corporate Counsel of Milwaukee County. And thank you, Dr. Craig. Couldn't do it without you. Thank you, Connor, as always, for great music. And thank you to the listening audience. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you guys on tomorrow. I'll be joined in studio by former U.S. Senator. Mandela Barnes is going to be joining us tomorrow. So with some great news. We'll be back then. Talk to you later. And I'm looking for somebody this fly. I can't help it. I want it all. Still Sonic. Let me get the 3 beats in a biscuit. Ugh.
Hey, we got a big Wisconsin Supreme Court race this spring, and whoever wins will have a huge say over your freedom to vote, your freedom to make healthcare decisions, your freedom to have fair representation. So please listen to the advice from Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez of our Milwaukee Bucks, and make sure you vote in the primary on February 21st.
Hey, Wisconsinites, Drew Holiday here.
And Brooke Lopez here.
I want you to make sure you're registered to vote.
It's more important now than ever because politicians are trying to restrict our freedom to vote.
I think I know why.
They're worried about our power.
So they want to take it away.
Don't let them do that.
You've got to block that shot.
So please register to vote and get out to vote. Just go to myvote.wi.gov.
Myvote.wi.gov.
Defend your right to vote and exercise your freedom to vote.
Paid for by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, WisDC.org, which is solely responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.